And we've been devoting ourselves to an understanding of some habits that the Spirit is teaching us so that we can overcome the things that are in the world, the things that are wickedness. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, Peter asked a rhetorical question. He said, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness or in all holy living and godliness? We want to be the kinds of people that the Spirit is helping us to become. And there are some habits that are so important to us. I have to say, it seems like our world is becoming hypersexualized. It seems like our world is full of sexual lust. It's full of sexual abuse. And I'm destroyed by the thought that children are going to grow up and they're going to encounter that. That's not the way it ought to be. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, at verse 13, Paul said, or the writer of the book of Hebrews said, the marriage bed is undefiled. There is a sensual part of our creation, a sensual part of our being that we should not deny. But we cannot let that sensual part of our being destroy that which is good. Galatians, the 5th chapter, at verse 19, the apostle says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. But notice what's absent here. He doesn't say that it's a work of the flesh that we have a sensual relationship. He says it's an abusive relationship that's a work of the flesh. And the Spirit is going to teach us some habits that will help us. So let's think about what sexual lust is. It's really the perversion of a God-given gift of a loving sensual relationship and turning it into nothing more than short-term selfish gratification. If you look at the word for lust, this is what Thayer says about it in his lexicon. It is to turn upon a thing, or for everything to revolve around a particular thing. It's to have a desire for something, a longing for something, or to desire. He says it is to lust after, to covet. But then he says this, importantly, he says it's mostly used of those who seek things that are forbidden. Look at 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And we're going to begin reading here at verse 1, and we'll read about a man named Amnon, who was a son of David, who wanted to have a sexual relationship with his half-sister Tamar. And this is what it says. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. But we're going to see what that word really means in just a minute. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. She forbidden him. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to Amnon, why, O son of the king, art thou thus lean from day to day. Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said to him, lay thee down on thy bed, feign thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see him, cometh to see thee, say to him, let my sister Tamar come, and I pray thee, let her give me bread to eat and dress the food in my sight, that I might see it and eat it from her hand. So Amnon laid down, feigned himself to be sick. He wasn't sick. He was just pretending. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, let my sister Tamar come, I pray thee, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I might, may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him food. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. He was laid down. She took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. She took the pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, have out all the men from me. And they went out, every man from him. Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from thy hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she brought them near unto him, he took hold of her. And he said to her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, saying, nay, my brother, do not force me. No such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Whither shall I carry my shame? Where would I put my shame? As for thee, thou wilt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak to the king. He'll not withhold me from thee. The king will okay it if you want to establish a loving relationship. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, he forced her and he lay with her. And this is what the outcome was. This was an abusive relationship from the beginning. Amnon hated her with exceeding great hatred. For the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. She said to him, not so, because this great wrong in putting me forth is worse than the other that thou didst to me. But he would not hearken to her. Then he called his servant that ministered to him, said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. That's the ultimate result. He hated her. He was done with her. She was nothing to him. So throw her out, lock the door. That's what sexual perversion does. Sexual lust is never hidden. You may think that I can have this desire, and as long as I don't act on the desire, it's okay. The desire itself is never hidden. This is what Paul said in Romans 2. When the Gentiles who have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness therewith, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. We can't hide our thoughts from ourselves, and we can't hide them from God. Sexual lust is more than just raging hormones. Raging hormones is endemic. But sexual lust, sexual perversion is more than that. This is a record of Samson. Samson went down to Timnah. Samson eventually became one of the judges of Israel. He saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up, told his father and his mother, and said, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. His father and his mother said to them, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all of my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her. She pleases me well. I have this desire. Act on it. And we will. We will. We may think that we can look at pornography. We will act on it. What happened with Tamar? Inevitably, it bears fruit. And when sexual perversion bears fruit, we're ashamed. That's what happened with Amnon. He hated her with exceeding great hatred. For the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love that wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. Proverbs, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can you have lust and it's just not going to issue in anything? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent, but whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. And I think every one of us is aware of the horrors of sexual abuse. How do we overcome it? Well, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, at verse 8, Paul tells us what the Spirit wants us to do. This is the habit that we need to develop that will help to keep us from this sexual perversion. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a matter of controlling what we think on. Job, the 31st chapter at verse 1. Job talks about his manner of life. And he says this, it's really interesting. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I look upon a virgin? I made a covenant with my eyes. I decided that there were some things I wouldn't look at. There were some things that I would avoid. Now, let me tell you how serious this is. This is what Jesus said. We think about a covenant with my eyes, and we think that's rather benign. Look at the way Jesus describes this. Woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life, halter maimed, than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. This is serious. And you can't approach this in a haphazard way. What the Spirit wants to teach us is serious business. So let's think about some practical things. I have read that the most frequently visited websites on work computers are pornographic sites. Now, I'm not talking about what you do at home in privacy. I'm talking about what you're willing to do in the workplace. Sometimes we need people to watch us, to look over our shoulder. You've read, all of us have seen the advice, don't put the computer in the bedroom where your child sleeps. Bring it out into the living room where everything is done in the open. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. If this is a problem for you, find someone that will hold you accountable. Give someone the key to your computer. Let them look at all of the things that you browsed. James says, confess your sins one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. This is the scourge of our culture. You know, I used to think that it was men exclusively that looked at pornography. That's not true. I read the other day that 60% of the people that look at pornography are women. It's not just men. It's not just Amnon. That's not what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid something more serious. And the Spirit teaches us to consider things that are pure. I wish that I never had to talk about something like this. I wish that this wasn't a part of our everyday existence. But it is. And thankfully, God helps us to overcome this, to strike a blow against this kind of thing. If that's what you want to do, if sexual lust, sexual perversion has destroyed lives that you know about, maybe it's destroyed your own. We want you to come to Jesus. He loves you. He will help you. Put him on in baptism. We'll help you do that. Having put him on in baptism, you know, sometimes these are things that arise even among our own selves. James says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. God wants to heal. He wants us to take advantage of it.